This is Radio Influence. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. It's time you can start smelling it now. Football's right around the corner. Training camps are starting up everywhere around the NFL. NFL cities and non-NFL cities. A lot of training camps in a lot of different cities, and people ready to roll. And our Buccaneers are going to be ready to roll here at the end of this week or at the start of next week. So it's go time. Before we start talking about football, let's talk about our title sponsor, Hess Spinal Centers. When you have an accident and you're going through this stressful time, Hess are the people you have to contact. 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. It's a tough situation when you go through these accidents. You want to have the best doctors. You want to have the best treatment. Hess Spinal Centers has 16 Bay Area locations for you, and you want to go with the best, and that's Hess Spinal Centers. 1-800-618-HESS. You want to check them out for sure. So training camp is right around the corner. Our Buccaneers are ready to roll. For those of you that love to watch training camp practices, I believe the first open one is on Sunday, on July 29th. It's going to be mighty hot out there, so I would say, you know, bring some beverages and water would be better. Alcohol's not good out there because it is hot outside. It is hot. We live in Florida. We know we live in the heat, but right now there's just a different heat going on in that air, and I really couldn't imagine running around on that field. First of all, before we start getting into Buccaneer stuff and NFL stuff, they had a death in the NFL. Tony Sparano, who was the Vikings offensive line coach, died suddenly. I mean, there has been no particulars. There's been nobody knows how or why. They're just saying it's a sudden death. I want to say he's about 56 years old. He coached with the Raiders, coached with the Dolphins, and was presently the offensive line coach for the Vikings. So, you know, Vikings are going through a tough time right now when training camp just starts out. And, you know, there's quite the bond between, you know, individual coaches, especially offensive line coaches, and their offensive line. So I hope everybody at the Vikings learn how to cope with that. And let's hope that his family copes with that as well. But definitely a sad story going on in the NFL because, you know, people talking about Tony Sparano, there's nothing but good things that you're hearing. And it's not like that with every coach. I mean, there's some coaches where you have respect for as coaches. Some of them you have respect for as people. And some of them you have respect for as friends. And it sounds like everybody out there who was involved with Tony Sparano loved him as an individual. So, you know, it's just sad to see somebody to go away that early in life with so much life ahead of them. So it's definitely very, very unfortunate. So our Buccaneers start training camp this Sunday. You know, when you talk about question marks, the question marks in this football team really are just centered on our quarterback, Jameis Winston. You know, there's still a question of how talented we are as a football team because, you know, the Buccaneers have not put a football team out there that knows how to win. And sometimes that's the hardest part. When you look at a Patriots team, and I hate to bring up the Patriots because they're kind of an anomaly. You know, the Patriots have just figured out the equation to win. They're the only one that's done it. You know, I mean, Seattle's done it a little bit. Pittsburgh's done it a little bit. You know, these guys are perennial winners. We got to figure out ways for this Buccaneers to be perennial winners. Now, those other names that I mentioned, you know, New England and Seattle and Pittsburgh, you know, those are all teams that have one thing in common, and that's a consistent quarterback. And probably, you know, Russell Wilson's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but I'd be damned if he's not heading that way. If he stays healthy, and I believe he's been as healthy as anybody in the league, he's definitely heading that way. But the Buccaneers still have question marks at their quarterback position because, like, with some of these teams out there, we'll take Philadelphia as an example. Philadelphia is going to have Nick Foles on the bench, and that's the Super Bowl MVP. And why is that? Because they have in Carson Wentz their quarterback for the next 10 years. And Nick Foles, as well as he played last year, he's still not Carson Wentz, believe it or not. The NFL came up with their top 100 players, and I want to say Carson Wentz was number 2 on the list. So if you're wondering why Carson Wentz is going to be the starter instead of Nick Foles, is because the NFL thinks he's the second best player in the entire league, by the way. So Jameis Winston, his off-the-field shenanigans obviously doesn't help the situation. And then we got to start talking about if the Buccaneers are emphasizing that he's our guy, or do they start pulling back a little bit? This is a great question. Every year on the stadium, they have four individuals that go on, they're on the side of the stadium. And I want to believe there's four slots. Don't know if Jameis gets a slot this year. I don't know. You know, they have, from what I hear, Lavonte David is still going to be up there. Gerald McCoy is going to be up there. Mike Evans is probably going to be up there. Now, you want to talk about people who deserve to be up there. Quan Alexander deserves to be up there. Whether he gets up there or not, I don't know. Then you got to start talking about your first round pick and whether you start pumping him up or not enough. And that's Vita V. Do you want him up there? So we'll see. I don't know what angle the Buccaneers take with that. Okay. I don't know if the Buccaneers are, you know, ones that are going to sit back on their hands, or they're going to put May hopefully, or no. Well, let me correct myself. Cameron Brate is going to be on the side of the stadium, which to me is a little bit shocking. And Lavonte David, and those were the only two that are locked in the stone right now. Cameron Brate, listen, he's a good football player. Don't even know if he's going to be the best tight end on our team, but he deserves to be on there more than O.J. Howard. That's a shocking name for me, though. Cameron Brate, I don't know if he's done enough, if he's accomplished enough. And we don't even know if he's going to be really a starter this year. Because if O.J. Howard is as good as, you know, advertised, you know, Cameron Brate's going to get half the time. But this Buccaneer team, I'm really curious of how they approach training camp. Because last year, you know, when Hard Knocks was here, you know, everybody was a little bit more flamboyant, you know, a little bit more talkative. It seemed like people were trying to show some, you know, extra leadership. To me, is just go play football. To me, just go out and play football. And if I was, you know, anybody on the coaching staff, and especially first and foremost Dirk Cutter, Brenson Buckner too, all these guys that are trying to establish a mentality. If I was Dirk Cutter, I would go up in front of the team and say, this year, let's say a little bit less and let's let our play speak for itself. And let me go from there. I think that should be the mantra going into training camp. So, and really you want to look right at Jameis Winston when you're talking about this, because Jameis has been the guy in front and in the forefront for quite a while now since he's been here. He's given the speeches, and it used to be Gerald McCoy, and then Jameis took it over. Less pregame speeches. Let's go out and play football, man. It's that time. You know, the way back when the Buccaneers were great, and there was a time when we were great for a good 8-year period or so, they didn't need one person up in front talking to anybody. I don't remember Warren Sapp making all those pregame speeches, and Derek Brooks and John Lynch. I know Mike Alstott. I don't remember those guys making all those speeches. Let's just go out and play, and we know what kind of football team we are. Let's develop a mentality. And the Buccaneers really haven't developed a mentality in quite a while. If you say what the Bucs' mentality used to be, they didn't turn the ball over. They ran the football. They played defense. And they played special teams. Pretty easy. And that's an equation for success. So when you look at the Buccaneers and their preseason schedule, you know, let me tell you about the preseason, okay? Nobody cares who wins a preseason game. I didn't say nobody cares about how we play, but nobody cares who wins a preseason. It doesn't matter if we're playing the Cincinnati Bengals or the Jacksonville Jaguars. As an offense, as a defense, as special teams, you want to just go out there and represent yourself. And when the ones come out, that's the most important thing, that your ones look good. But when the twos go in, the twos got to look good as well. Because, you know, the twos or the backups are one play away from being starters. That's a fact. And with training camp and these preseason games and, you know, getting ready for this football season, there's so many distractions out there. You know, that's why I'm not sure having training camp in your facility, in a common space, is the best thing for a football team. You know, the Buccaneers used to go all the way to Orlando for the training camp, which was just a god-awful situation for me. I'm not sure if they love that either. When I was in Philadelphia, we used to go to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which was far from Philadelphia and might as well have been in Madagascar. I don't know, but it seemed like it was pretty damn far out there. But there's less distractions out there, okay? When you're in your own town with your girl around and your kids around and you know everybody, there's a lot of distractions, okay? When you roll up in a different city, you don't have to deal with all that kind of stuff. And I don't know how Dirk Cutter runs his ship, but we've had so many different, I had so many different coaches here in Tampa. I had four head coaches, from Ray Perkins to Richard Williamson to Sam Weich and then Tony Dungy. They all took training camp differently. They all handled it differently. Sam Weich even had one year where he let all the veterans go home for training camp. And I literally did not step in my dorm room one time in the whole training camp. Training camp is a miserable situation, okay? Your body hurts, your mind hurts, and you got to get up every morning thinking about how the hell am I going to get this done again, because my feet hurt, my back hurts, and just about everything on my body hurts. So, you know, this is a time where it's survival mode, and it's a hard situation in, you know, being an athlete, because you're out there trying to get better every day, but you're also trying to survive. You know, it's hard to get yourself pumped up and inspired for every training camp practice, especially like way back when, you know, Ray Perkins was around and, you know, the rules were way different and we're out there hitting twice every single day. Man, it's hard to go to sleep at night knowing you have to wake up and do that same crap again. And the thing with the Buccaneers, though, they got to prove to themselves they're ready. They got to prove to themselves that they're tough enough, because everything they've done in the offseason and everything that's been said is just talk, and that's it. So it's time to buck up now, as Buccaneers, as Buccaneer fans. I'm ready to watch some pretty damn good football. I mean, I went into last year as optimistic as I've been since the year after the Super Bowl, and I'm just not going to do that this year. I'm just going to allow them to prove to me they're ready for prime time, because, you know, the first three games of the season with without Jameis, I don't care if we have Joe Montana. The first three games of the football season for the Buccaneers are a bear, okay? It's just, they're tough football games. You know, the Eagles are going to be tough, period. Pittsburgh's always tough. The Saints at home that's rough. Those are rough football games. So the Buccaneers are going to have to be ready for that mentally, physically, and they're going to have to do without their quote-unquote leader in Jameis. And maybe they've taken that label off him, I don't know. But the Buccaneers need to find a way to get that winning mentality in their brain and on the football field. I just happened to be channel surfing this weekend, and I like to go by the NFL Network every once in a while. I've actually been watching that flag football stuff. I can't believe I am, but I am. They happened to be replaying the Jags and the Patriots AFC Championship game. And it made me realize that, you know, you have to have playmakers on your football team. That's the most important thing. You have to have playmakers that are going to make plays in crucial situations. So if you remember that Pats-Jag game, the Jags were all over the Pats all game long. And when it came down to crunch time, players made plays, man, for the Pats. You know, Brady's down 20-17 with 6 minutes left or something like that, and ends up punting the ball. And you punt the ball back to Blake Bortles, who is not Tom Brady in any way. Okay, Blake Bortles, out of 32 quarterbacks, is number 20. And Tom Brady's number one. So there's a big gap between them. Looking at those drives, when the Jaguars had the ball, there's a couple, three situations where Blake Bortles could have made a play and won that football game. And it didn't happen. It wasn't all Blake Bortles. There's a lot of stuff going on. When I say playmakers, if I asked you for the Buccaneers, in a crucial situation, who do you look to rush the passer? Now, we have a completely different defensive line this year, so hopefully somebody emerges as that guy. But going back and watching that game, James Harrison, who I don't, James Harrison's got to be close to 40 years old. Got to be. James Harrison had a big pressure on the second to last drive and a huge sack to take them out of field goal range on the last drive to make, you know, Jacksonville actually go for it on fourth. I think it was fourth and nine or something like that. But playmakers, got Danny Amendola, okay? Somebody didn't do much really all game. Takes a punt return back to the 30-yard line. You know, to the Jacksonville 30-yard line. And then catches a touchdown at the end of the game. We need playmakers. Offensively, who are our playmakers? DeSean Jackson had all the, you know, opportunity in the world to be a playmaker last year and didn't quite happen out. Didn't work that way. Mike Evans 2 years ago was a playmaker, not as much last year. Other than that, who was our playmakers on offense? We have a bunch of nice players. We have a bunch of nice football players. And I'm not sure, as far as our wide receiver core goes, that we're not as strong coming up this year as we've ever been. But it doesn't mean anything. It's just on paper and that's it. But I'm ready for the Buccaneers to prove to me they're ready for prime time. And the unfortunate part is they're going to have to beat two out of three really good football teams to start that season. Now, if anybody wants to ever email me and ask me any questions, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. We had Greg DeCruz that sent me an email and says, fellow Montrealer here, growing up in Montreal, who did you look up to in football? If you're talking about team-wise, I was always a Dallas Cowboy fan. I mean, my room is, there was nothing on the walls but Dallas Cowboy stuff. That was my team. If you're talking about a football player, Harvey Martin was my player growing up. That was the defensive end, number 79 for the Cowboys, and that was my guy. I tried to look like him, act like him. I wanted his number and all those kind of things. What was the biggest transition going to Indiana and then the Bucks? Every time you go to a different level of sports, the transition is just competition. That's it. You know, when you play high school football, you know, there's a high percentage of people that were good high school football players. A lot of people were good high school football players. It's not hard to do. From there, well, you could take most of those high school football players and put them in any Division I locker room and they're going to get ate up. That's the way it goes. So the caliber of player keeps on going forward. And once you get to the NFL, then you're just never going to play against anybody who isn't fabulous. That's the way it goes. So every time you go up a level, and I did it many times, and I'm even talking about when you're in peewee football, when you're in 10 and 11, and then the next year with 12 and 13, that's a big jump. So you just got to be ready for what's coming up afterwards, for the next step. And it's going to be a shock coming off the bat, but you just got to be able to weather it. And another question was the last time I visited Canada. Ironically, I almost headed to Canada at the end of this week. I was with Mike Caltos going with Spanish and Pat Papp, and I thought about going, and I looked at the plane tickets, and they were like $1,500. So it's not quite worth going to Montreal for 3 days for $1,500, that's for sure. So this year on In the Trenches, we're going to touch on a lot of things. We're obviously going to talk NFL football. We're going to talk Buccaneers. I'm going to talk up some USF football as well. They're a hometown team. You got to give them love. And we're going to talk some fantasy football. Fantasy football is something I got into a little bit more last year. And, you know, I dig it. I might get into a couple different leagues this year. And for anybody looking for somewhere to do your fantasy draft and your fantasy party, we have a place right here on Gandy and West Shore that's very suitable for what you're trying to get accomplished. So you guys could get in touch with me on social media at Ian Beckles if you guys want to check that out for sure. Now, some of the other things go around this NFL. Dante Fowler just got suspended for one game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Had a pretty darn good season last year with 8 sacks, coming off an ACL his rookie season. You know, when he tore his ACL in the, I want to say it was the off season, and missed his whole rookie season. I'm going to tell you, that's a good equation. Other than the fact that you blew your knee out, nobody wants to blow your knee out. sitting and watching your rookie season is the best thing you can possibly do. Because as a rookie, you have to be thrusted out there. You're going to make rookie mistakes. You're not ready for the speed. And, you know, you tear your ACL and then you sit back in meetings and you become a teacher and you learn. So I think Dante Fowler got better as a football player because of that. But he keeps on acting an ass, though. Okay, you're acting like a fool. He's from St. Petersburg. I guess allegedly he was driving through a neighborhood too fast. And some old dude said, you got to slow down. And he got out of the car and knocked the groceries out of his hand and threw his groceries in a lake or something. You got to be more mature than that, obviously. And he's had 3 off-the-field situations in 17 months. And, you know, the NFL's not going to deal with that crap anymore. They're just not. They have very little tolerance for all that kind of stuff. So Dante Fowler is an up-and-coming athlete over there in Jacksonville. He just got to figure out ways to stay out of trouble. Now, you're going to see a lot of this when training camp comes up. Some of the older veteran-type guys, they'll hold out of training camp saying that they want more money, almost knowing they're not going to get it. And the long and short of it is that they ain't trying to go to training camp. They're just not. Towards the end of my career, I could have not gone to training camp and still played well. You know the game by now. And somebody is right in that slot is Julio Jones. Julio Jones is a big physical receiver, not getting towards the end of his career, but he gets banged up a lot. And he's holding out for more money. They said he's the 9th highest paid receiver in the league, and you can make an argument for Julio Jones being the best wide receiver in the league. But the only problem is you signed a 6-year deal, Julio, and you're in year 4. So Jacksonville's not just going to give you money just because. They have a salary cap to manipulate, and they have a bunch of other players they need to sign as well. So I don't know if Julio Jones is going to get his money. Best scenario, maybe they put some incentives up there for numbers. But the Falcons don't have to do anything. And Julio doesn't have to go to training camp. He's going to end up missing training camp. They're going to end up, bringing him back in the first game. And they're going to all wipe everything clean, and they're going to play football. That's it. But towards the end of your career, going to training camp is a pain in the ass. Trust me. Nobody wants to do that. I'm ready for opening day. Training camp is the worst. Now, with the Hall of Fame game right around the corner, the Ravens are going to be playing Chicago, and I'll be there watching. That's some of the worst, best football on earth. Because, when the Ravens are playing Chicago, first game of the season, you might see the starters from one series. You might, if the coach is happy and feels good about himself, you might not. But it's football. And you're finally seeing real football. And I watch every year, I watch the Hall of Fame game. And this year is not going to be any different. Now, the Hall of Fame class that's going to be inducted, I'm not sure it's not the best class ever. And maybe I'm saying that because it's starting to get to the era where players that I played with and against are starting to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But listen to the players that are getting inducted this year. The one name that's everybody's talking about is T.O., okay? And statistically, T.O. should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, statistically. The unfortunate part for T.O. is the media does a lot of voting in the Hall of Fame. And he didn't treat the media all that well. He just didn't. Should that hold him back from the Hall of Fame? Nope. But if you have a vote, it's up to you, whoever the hell you can vote for. But statistically, there was no doubt cut and dry. And I was watching some highlights from T.O. And, I'm a football fiend. I watch it all the time, every day, all day. If it's on, I watch it. And I'm watching his highlights, and I swear to you, I barely remember T.O. playing for the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. He's been around a long time and had a lot of success with a lot of different teams, but I do not remember him in a Buffalo Bills uniform. And they were showing highlights. I'm like, man, I don't remember T.O. in Buffalo. I don't remember in Cincinnati either. But everywhere he went, he put up numbers. Everywhere he went, he made the quarterback around him look better. People talk like T.O. was a leper, and you know, when you see, they had a show on NFL Network the other day where they were talking to a lot of the old Philadelphia Eagles about when Donovan McNabb was there with T.O., and they clearly didn't get along, and they didn't have the right, they didn't have the same philosophy or mentality, and it was pretty much torn down the center. Some people were Donovan McNabb people, and some people were T.O. people. And to me, if you have a locker room and half it's on your side, then that makes you a leader automatically, whether you think so or not. Ray Lewis is a name that's up this year, Hall of Fame inducted. Ray Lewis is one of the best football players that ever put a helmet on, period. And I mean any position. You can't show me another position that played as long as Ray Lewis and was effective as Ray Lewis, played with injuries, resulted in wins, resulted in championships. Brian Billick used to call into our show all the time, the Ron and Ian show, and I said, "You know, Brian, what? Tell me something about Ray Lewis." And I'll never forget, he said, "Ian, I never had to coach my defense." He goes, "Ray inspired a defense. Ray coached the defense. If somebody slacked, they had to answer to Ray." And I'm thinking, that's a very powerful man to have in your locker room. My good friend Tony Mayberry, who went to two or three Pro Bowls, Ray Lewis was there at the time, and he says when Ray Lewis speaks, everybody listened. And you're talking about a locker room of Pro Bowl football players. Like, there's alpha males in your high school locker room, in the college locker room, obviously, in the NFL locker room. You're talking about Hall of Fame Pro Bowl football players. You're not going to find more alpha males than in that room. And they say when Ray Lewis talked, everybody listened. Ray Lewis brought hats to the party every single game, every single week. And I loved everything about the way Ray Lewis played. And I'm going to say, what about the people he killed? Stop saying that. If you kill somebody, you go to jail. Ray Lewis was in a situation where he was in the wrong place. He didn't kill anybody, all right? Stop saying that. Brian Dawkins, a guy I played with in Philadelphia, ended up being quite the leader, had a great career. Didn't expect him to be that player, really didn't. You know, he came in, he was kind of quiet, but ended up being quite that leader and quite the player. Randy Moss, I don't know if there's a better, bigger or better weapon at any position ever than Randy Moss. You might not like him, but you sure wanted him on your team, because there's players that don't go to Hall of Fame that are great football players, but he's going to change the whole offense. If Randy Moss is on your offense is better immediately, because I'll be damned if you put one corner out there. Don't do it. There hasn't been that many wide receivers in the history of the NFL where you put one corner on them and there's no help over the top. That guy screwed. And that was Randy Moss. He was definitely the one guy in the history of the NFL you couldn't leave out there. Brian Urlacher, if it wasn't for Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher would have been the best middle linebacker of that era. Fantastic football player. And then they bring out some older names. Robert Brazil, if I remember him right, with the Houston Oilers. Kind of a squatty type player. Jerry Kramer. How the hell is Jerry Kramer not already in the Hall of Fame? Now, Jerry Kramer played, I played in the 90s. Jerry Kramer had to have played in the 60s and 70s. I don't really understand how Jerry Kramer wasn't in, but he's in. Bobby Bethard. Now, Bobby Bethard means a lot more to me than it means to other players because Bobby Bethard came to Indiana when I was there. And I remember we sat in a restaurant and he was telling me how much he enjoys the way I play and how he thinks I'm going to be a great NFL football player. And nobody ever did that before. Like, Bobby Bethard liked me more than anybody else in the history of football. And it's the weirdest thing. And the Chargers had the pick right after the Buccaneers, or very close after the Buccaneers, in the fifth round. And Bobby Bethard told me that if you're around fifth round, we're going to grab you for sure. And the Buccaneers grabbed me, which is great. I'm blessed to have been here, but Bobby Bethard was always a guy that believed in my ability, so I got love for him. Then, when it was my fourth year in the league and I was a free agent, Bobby Bethard came to get me. And the San Diego Chargers actually had more money on the table than the Buccaneers did, but you know, with cost of living and property tax and state tax and blah, blah, blah tax, it made more sense to stay here. Now, that was the year that the San Diego Chargers went to the Super Bowl and gets throttled by the 49ers. But I had my chance to go there. San Diego would have been a beautiful place to play. Can't nobody live in San Diego? Who can afford that? And Bobby Bethard is one of those guys that throughout his career has been one of those guys like with the Bill Polians that have had really great, the great ambassadors of the game of football. So Bobby Bethard definitely deserves to be in as well. So for all of you out there that love the Hall of Fame game, it's not about the brand of football. It's really just about it's football time. It's football time. USF football's around the corner. It's about that time for fantasy football as well. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm ready to start, you know, going to training camp and evaluating some of these guys and seeing what V to V looks like and one-on-one pass rush and all kind of things like that. Real stuff that's going to equate to some victories, hopefully, for the Buccaneers. If any of you guys have any more questions for me, and I appreciate my boy Greg DeCruz for chiming in. Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. If you want to follow me on social media, at Ian Beckles, I-A-N-B-E-C-K-L-E-S. And, you know, like I said, we're going to talk a lot of Buccaneer football, a lot of NFL football, some USF, some fantasy, and we're going to have fun doing it because football's fun. When you're not on the training camp field, football's fun. Just talking about it, it's wonderful. I remember being on the football field in training camp, looking up in the stands at people laughing and joking around. And I always said to myself, when I'm done playing, I'm going to get a big gulp and sit at the top of the stadium and just laugh at all those players on the football field. And then that didn't work out either because it's still too damn hot for me. Once again, much love to Hess Spinal Centers, 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress, call Hess. You definitely want to call my people. I appreciate you guys every week listening in, and this thing's going to ramp up a little bit more as we go forward because, like I said, football season is on us. Everybody have a wonderful week. Next week, we'll be talking a little bit of Bucs training camp and things we saw on the field. So that we have to look forward to. Have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
As you know, there are five NFL quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, who will be 35 or older by the kickoff of 2018. Any goes through it, you know, Brady, 41, Brees, 39, Manning, 37, Eli, Big Ben, 36, Phillip Rivers, 36. Do you see evidence of drop-off for any of these future Hall of Famers? Yes, there's regression in some of their skill sets. There's a regression in Brady and Brees, for example, the best of the group. And by the way, two top Grady players in the league for me last year. So, wait a minute, Landry, you just said they're two top great players, but they regress. Yeah, physically, there's regression. Their arm strength is not what it was a few years ago, but they anticipate better. They see the field even better than they did, and they get the ball out quicker. And so the result is there, but it's done a little differently. There's some things they can't do quite as well, but there's some things they do even better than they did.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.